Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Don't seek for titles. Follow the anointing. Don't look for position. Follow the anointing. Hallelujah. I love the anointing. I prefer the anointing. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Spirit. I will say this refers to Christ, the anointed one. And we have seen that the anointing of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. The anointing of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. I remember warning you in the last session, don't forget, to beware of evil company. A company that does not respect the anointing. Beware of a company of Christians who criticize anointed people. I've not said that every anointed person would be correct. In fact, sincerely, no anointed person is 100% correct. That's a fact. But do not company with people that criticize anointed people. That will be a bad company. That will eventually injure your life. Do not also relate with people that despise the anointing of God's Spirit in the place of prayer. That will be the wrong company to keep. Truth of the matter is, many of us have too many bus stops in our lives. And where we are going is not far, but we decide to drop by the way in many places. We have to be very cautious not to be found in the wrong places. Company involves the places you go to, the people you relate with, and the people you receive from. Have to be careful in the right company. So we have seen that the burden shall be lifted up from the shoulder and the yoke destroyed by the reason of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Now I'm going to be running through a couple of scriptures and I want you to listen very, very well. Very, very well. I believe that every preacher of the gospel should be disciplined to sit down and listen to the word of God for very long. It's a discipline, it's a training. It's not punishment, it's a training. One of the first basic things I learned in life is that if you are going to listen to God, you must know how to listen to men that God uses. Because you will discover it's the same spirit that is within you that is upon the people that God is using. And I've shared this many times in several fora. When God was going to call Samuel to the ministry, 3 times God called Samuel and he used the voice of Eli. How many of you know God's voice here? Does God, is it croaking? Is it sonorous? Is it soprano? Or surprise? Auto, motto, treble, or terrible? No. God's voice is usually the voice of a man. God used the voice of Samuel to communicate, Eli, to communicate with Samuel. So that was why 3 times he kept again, it was Eli that called him. And the 3rd time, it was Eli that said, lie down. No matter what you say about Eli, Eli was influential and instrumental to how Samuel responded to the call of God. He said, lie down there. He said, lie down there. Whenever he calls you again, say this. Yes, here I am, Lord. Your servant speak, Lord. Your servant listens. We're listening. You have to learn to listen. You have to learn to pay attention. Because in listening to the anointed one, people that are anointed by God in Christ Jesus, in the same way you are going to listen to God. The same way. I've said that to you many, many times. Now, this scripture, like we have read, refers to Jesus. And the Spirit of God, in and through Christ Jesus, now rests on those that receive the gospel. I've seen that. Now listen carefully to this. In Acts 38, we read it, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with, how God anointed Jesus Christ. That's with tautology. Is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's why he's Christ, because he was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's why it is how God anointed Jesus Christ. That's with tautology. With the Holy Ghost and with power, went all about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That was the message that they preached. Now, listen carefully to this. Are you aware that all the 12 did not know precisely who Jesus was? Somebody follow me here. Are you aware they did not know precisely who Jesus was? They tried to guess. They didn't know what he came to do. Yet, you read in Luke 9 and Luke 10, Matthew 10, how much they were used of God in that dispensation. How much of the power of God that they demonstrated and displayed in spite of their knowledge. If you go on again, you read the Acts of the Apostles, again you will discover that even Peter and all the 12, you see that in Acts 11, you see that they knew very, very little about what Jesus came to do. Yet, the Bible will tell you with great power, Acts 4:33, Acts 5 again, it's 12, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus and how signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. Yet, their knowledge of God's word was not really sufficient. Not sufficient is an understatement. However, there were certain things that worked in tandem for them. Number one, their desire to bless lives. Their commitment to lives. Number two, their zeal at preaching the gospel. Number three, their intensity in the place of prayer. Number four, their endurance towards persecution. Those four things are very, very important when it comes to bearing the power of God. Now, a man stepped on the scene whose name was Saul. Later Paul, Saul and Paul, it was actually Saul and Paul. One was his Hebrew name, the other was his Roman name. He was not renamed by God. Now, this fellow now had more accuracy in the word. Now, because he was a word man, as we call, I will look at it today, did not take away the fact that he demonstrated much more power, as it were, than any of the apostles. That shows you that knowledge of God's word really should bring in accuracy in how you flow and follow the anointing of God's Spirit. There should be accuracy now with how much you now know. Truth of the matter is this. When you take the epistle of Paul, when you take the epistle of Paul and you take the epistle of Peter, from Peter's admission, of course, I take this, you will see that Paul was way ahead. Far, 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 far ahead. Only Paul taught the indwelling. Or maybe John. But Paul had the correctness of that teaching. Taking it from the Old Testament. Why did I say this? Knowledge is not an advantage over others. Knowledge rather is a privilege for you to bless people. So if you see a fellow who does not know as much as you do, and flows with the power of God, number one, emulate the person. Admire the person. Respect the person. If he seems to even get with the power of God more than you do, there are some things you probably need to learn from him too. Which is very true. Knowledge ought to make you more accurate. More accurate. Not to criticize. No. Much more accurate in how you appreciate and demonstrate the things of God. That is why, you know, truth of the matter is this. When you find people that are world churches, you discover that they now become so unteachable that they feel that somewhere, a place where they don't know what they know, you can't learn anything from them. You are wrong. You are very wrong. You have a teachable attitude. That's the truth. A teachable attitude. Truth of the matter is that the body of Christ, his soul, was brought together with different parts functioning that brings increase and growth to the same body. Now listen. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 is often called the coming of the Holy Spirit, but really there's no way it was taught like that. The Holy Spirit did not come in Acts 2. In fact, look at John 16, look at exactly what Jesus said. Now, don't forget it, where we have been coming from. Unlike several other WC conferences, this one I'm teaching in a pattern. So, it's not like I'm going to take one subject and that subject, no. I'm going to teach like this to the end. So, it's advisable for you after a session to go through the notes. Because I will teach from the point that you have heard some things. I will go back to it. If I make reference to it, fine. I will go back to it. So, it's advisable that a good student of the Bible, when you hear something, the first thing you do is you pray. The other thing you do is that you read it again, then you think upon it. Immediately. I've taught you that several times. Because you lose understanding immediately, you gain understanding immediately. It's what you do immediately that will matter. What you do immediately when you hear something, that's what matters. Straight away, go as it will. James 1, 23. James 1, 24 continues therein. So everything is instantaneous. I was saying in the season local church, imagine, today we have technology and we dub materials, we dub tapes. But you know that was not the way they were then. In those days, there will be one letter written. Now, if you want a copy, usually they will just read the same letter to everybody. If we're not in service that day, too bad. Usually they will now give it to people to now and write. You now write everything out. There was no printed press. You couldn't photocopy. You now write it out. That's the way they had the Bible. The Old Testament. You will write everything handwritten. Yeah, those folks were spiritual. Right? They knew the word. They grew in the word. Don't you think to whom much is given, much is required of? There is so much demand on this Latter-day Church than any other church ever. I can say this boldly. There has been increase in revelation knowledge than any other time. You know, when I look at preachers talk about Nigerian ministries, and I just wonder how much of God's mercy we're going to dwell with. When they now say the just Christian Nigerian church, what is happening to the Nigerian church? They begin to say all sorts of things. I'm not saying Nigerian church is perfect. I'm not saying that we don't need to be taught and all that. But listen very well. I now pointed something out to some people. I said there is no nation under the heaven that has released ministers of the gospel like Nigeria. There's virtually no nation in the world that in Nigeria is not pastoring a church. Yet we don't appreciate that. Yet we are our greatest enemies. How many Americans pastor in Nigeria? How many foreigners? We are in almost any nation you can imagine. Almost any nation you can imagine. Nigerians are in Iceland pastoring. China. Saudi Arabia. And I'll tell you the truth. With all humility, one pivot of that move was the late Archbishop Benson Edouard. I can't trace it to any other person. Even denominations today who are releasing people all over the world and all that, it was the Archbishop. That is why, not with this my lips. Don't say, somebody told me, say, Pastor, you are very biased about that. I said, no, I'm biased about the anointing. I don't want to stay out of the anointing. I mean, virtually every nation. Yet we say, Nigeria, Nigeria. We think that those who know the word are in America. You know, we have a funny name. We are colonized in our minds. We think it's the Americans. No. I submit to you, there are a lot of sound Bible teachers in Nigeria. Solid. Miracle evangelist. Stated. I mean, the happening miracle evangelist in Europe is a Nigerian. Interestingly, they don't give him meetings in Nigeria. T.L. Osborne's mentor was Archbishop Idahosa. Benny Hinn, Copeland. They didn't know he was younger than they were until he died. Because he used to bow to him. This is the same man in Nigeria, we call him any name. Praise God. Because if you don't appreciate the one you have, you won't get more. There's no nation. I don't know that nation in the world that in Nigeria is not doing ministry there. I went to one Muslim country. Because there are actually 99 Muslims. 0.5 animists. 0.25 something. Then 0.25 Christians. So actually they are Muslims. They said, there's one church. Some sort of Pentecostal church. And Nigeria did their capital city. The happening church in Nigeria. The largest church in Europe is Nigeria. Largest church, largest denomination in Europe is Nigeria. Largest church in the UK is Nigeria. Sweden, Germany. We are good people. I'm telling you. There's no better branding than the gospel. Yeah, I love my country. I love this country. God saved here. I learned the word here. I grew here. I received God's call here. I love this country. Anytime I travel, I want to run back. I like Nigeria. But say they take light. Don't worry, the light of God is in me. I like this country. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the devil can make you focus on the negatives. Some of you have never thought about what I've said now. Do you know? You have never thought about it. Now, think about it. Yeah. It's so much because of the depth of knowledge that we have. The depth of knowledge that we have. We understand so much of the Pauline gospel. We see some people talk about it. You know that there's a lot in the atmosphere. So there's a demand on us. So all this, you know, access we have to materials and all that, it is not to now sit back and laze around. It is supposed to pressurize us to work more. Because to whom much is given, much is required of. That's not my teaching. Now, listen very well. So the Acts 2 really is not the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because John 14, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you. You know Him. John 14, 17. And shall be in you. The real issue there was the indwelling. What happened in Acts 2 was the indwelling of the Spirit. And then, consequently, the diversities of the Holy Spirit. Now, unlike the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit now comes in His fullness. Within, upon, and without. Do you know that our lives do not go beyond that? Within, upon, and without. So we actually have the fullness of the Spirit in this age. That's what happened in Acts 2. Not the coming of the Spirit. It was the full expression of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, I pointed something out to you. Look at Haggai chapter 2. Remember I told you in Ezra 5 that Haggai and Zechariah were the ones that ministered to Zerubbabel, who was building the temple. Now, Haggai now points to Zerubbabel. Don't forget what Zechariah told him. Zechariah said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, Haggai says something else to him. Haggai says to him, according to the word of the Lord, verse 5, I connected with you. When you come out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it's a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. Please listen to this. It says, and I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory. And the Lord of hosts, we said the Lord of hosts, silver is mine, gold is mine, said the Lord God of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he's speaking of the church. He says the glory of this latter house. Years back, I taught in the convention, and he made me the keynote speaker. Depending on who is going to preach after me, it may be a mistake. So the reason was because they had moved to church. They were moving from fellowship, very large fellowship, to a church. You know, we think that church is different from fellowship. So they thought they were moving from fellowship to church. Actually, in church, church is fellowship. Fellowship is church. So they were moving. So they decided that they were going to, the theme was now the glory of this latter house, the glory of church is better than fellowship. So that was, said that's their prayer point. So they now said that, Pastor, I want you to handle, to be the keynote speaker. Keynote speaker means the person that will open the convention. That you will now follow from what it is teaching. So, I just got there and I taught from the word. I opened the scripture, where is it concerning me? And I now read to them that the glory of the latter house actually was referring to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it was referring to the church. Apparently, there was a guy they brought in from Brazil who was supposed to preach. Is it Brazil or Argentina? Was supposed to preach afterwards. That was 98. And this fellow had prepared his text according to that dispensation. So, when I taught the first service, he now said, that was very, very great. You must be a teacher. I'm an evangelist. You explain, we demonstrate. He said, very good. So we shook hands and all that. So I had to take the second service. When I took the second service, then I now demonstrated. So you must be an evangelist and teacher. Call me Jesus. You won't be lying. You know? So they picked that theme, thinking the glory of the latter house, and former. So when Paul is praying for you, say, oh, now that I'm moving from shop to warehouse, the glory of the latter house. No. He was speaking concerning, he was talking about the glory, a greater glory. Greater glory refers only, can only refer to the dispensation of the church. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know him for he's with you, but now, in a greater way, he will be in you. He was with Moses. He was with Samuel. He was with David. He was with Isaiah. But he is in us today. He is with us, he's amongst us, and he's also in us. He is upon us, he's within us, and he's also amongst us. Now, notice something. We had said something earlier, and I want you to follow very well, that the gospel is need-based. The anointing is to minister. The gospel is a need-conscious message. That is, you and I are sent to meet needs. We are sent to meet, and I gave you a list of needs, and there are so much. If we take those lists I gave you, the oppressed and all that I gave you earlier on, and we break it into subgroups and then subgroups and then subgroups, You know, we have so many groups. And the Bible says every creature, in every nation, in every system. So our message is boundless, is without boundary, and is without limit. Boundless, without limits.
Praise God.
My Prophet one day was preaching somewhere, I think somewhere in Portugal. No, it was an African nation where they spoke Portuguese. I think it was Angola. So as he was preaching, the interpreter didn't understand what he was saying. He was getting it wrong. It was a Nigerian fellow like that. Just ask the guy to go and sit down. And he preached his entire message in Portuguese. So when it was through, those folks now came to him. Some folks in the audience now said, "Sir, sir, you not spoke in Portuguese to him that you said so and so." He didn't know what they were saying. You said so and so, you were very specific and all that. No, that's what the anointing does. Amen. It's a need-based operation. It's a need-based operation. You are anointed for a purpose. And we have seen that both the anointing within, the anointing upon, and the anointing without, they are for what? Is that one very clear to you? Let me see, honey, if you got that very, very clear. They are for service. None is for holiness and making heaven, or heaven making you, or you making both of you making yourselves. Now, the gospel is need-based. And we have seen that yokes can only be destroyed and burdens lifted by the anointing. That's why you see, I see some people, I say, you are not serious. They are not serious minded. It was Pastor Ojo that was saying that how can someone, you say you need a miracle, you need a healing, and the next meeting you are going for is marriage seminar. You are not serious. You are stupid. Imagine the woman with the issue of blood going to the temple to talk to the Pharisees. They will just tell her how she's going to die. When you are sick, you don't visit an undertaker. You say, when? Kenneth Hagin. Sometimes I feel for the man, really. That's why it was so, there was nothing you were going to criticize about him. He was going to teach the message of faith the way he's going to teach it. At a young age, when he had a reformed heart, his mother now called preachers to come and pray for him. He now asked him, which songs do you want to be sung on your funeral? You know, it doesn't get worse than that. 17. He said, which of the songs? You now give him the hymn now. Pick the songs, you know. Don't worry, it will be oversung. It will be oversung. God is mysterious. He's working something out. It will be oversung. He said, which of the songs you want us to sing on your funeral? I mean, those are not the kind of people you go to their church again. You just write it on their door, not again. Do you understand? They can't help you. Anything outside the anointing cannot help you. It cannot help you. It will only massage your ego and just manage your problems. We don't need managers. We don't need managers of problems. We need problem solvers. Romans 15. Now, I don't know if you know that the church he wrote to in Rome, they were all believers. He called them saints. You know that. Now look at Romans 15. In Romans 15, in verse 29, I want us to read that together. One to go. I'm sure when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. In the fullness. That's what we call the full gospel. The gospel is multifaceted. That I will now come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Is that salvation? No. But there are things that accompany salvation. That the fullness, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. So in the anointing also, we minister the blessing of the gospel. The things that accompany this gospel. There are things that accompany the gospel. Hence we called it the outpouring of the Spirit. Now listen carefully. The outpouring of the Spirit. Let me give you some scripture exegesis here now. When you read Genesis 1, you will see clearly, and you, what Moses saw, will be the creation of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. At the back of people's minds, you think that what happened was that there were 7 days. So on Monday, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Notice, when you said that, there was no day and time. It was not in time. He said, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of darkness. And I told you, darkness is what? It's nothing. So, listen carefully. There was no time when he did that. So it would be wrong for us to go back to pre-creation to spot that. Because we see that the light there is not the light we see now. The light there is not the light that we see now. 2 Corinthians 4 now tells us that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Has given the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, read 5 and 6. You see it there. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That was what Genesis 1, 2, showing you the eternal plan of God for man. Jesus is the light of the world. Is the light of all men. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. Genesis 1 was to tell you that the light of creation is Christ Jesus. But observe the operation. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Now, what does the gospel represent in prophecy? The outpouring of the Spirit. Or the outpouring from the Spirit upon all flesh. It says, darkness covered the earth and gross darkness is people. It says, but upon whom the light of God will come upon it, they will arise and shine. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of God has risen upon you. The glory of God is the Holy Spirit in manifestation. So Genesis 1:2 is in this present tense. The Spirit of God is hovering upon the face of the deep. And is causing light to shine in darkness. Now listen very well. Listen well. Let me tell you what God said about the earth. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Are you there? Chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Read that again. Now, what does waters represent in scripture? People. Nations. It says, the earth will be filled with the glory of God. That manifestation of the Spirit of God, which we saw in Genesis 1:2, which is the manifestation of the Spirit of God, is the anointed one, Christ. It says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Actually, the first time he said that, he said the whole earth will be filled with my glory. And did you notice that what Adai said about that glory? Is that the glory will fill the house. The house also refers to individuals and the gathering of the same. The outpouring of the Spirit is this age. He said, I will pour out of my Spirit. That's the glory of God. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So ministry is fulfillment of prophecy. Is someone following me now? We are fulfilling prophecy. There is a prophetic agenda on the earth. Interestingly, some have yielded to it. And we see them on television. We see them on radio. We see them in the newspapers. And we feel, wow, see how God is using that fellow. But he said, as the waters cover the seas. So he says, I will pour out my spirit upon how many people? All flesh. I'll pour out of my spirit. That's the correct way. You know, the spirit of truth put it forth. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So ministry is fulfillment of that prophecy. We are carriers of the glory of God. We manifest the glory of God on the earth. The Holy Spirit demonstrates himself through the man that he has indwelt. And why does he do it? Jesus expressed in John 7:39. He said, he that believes in me, out of his belly, now he quoted that from the scripture, out of his belly, that out of Christ shall flow rivers of living water. He said, come unto me, all ye that thirst, and I'll give you to drink. Now, today, that river is flowing through the same person, the person of Christ, who has indwelt us by the Holy Spirit. So ministry is fulfillment of prophecy. It's not happenstance. It is not coincidental. It is incidental. It was planned. It was prepared. It was proposed by God. That was why Paul could say, Ephesians 3 and 10, that to this intent will be made known to the principalities and power in the heavens the many-sided, manifold wisdom of God through the church. That is, these indwelt people will now make manifest. You see, the things that the Spirit of God is demonstrating and teaching and explaining, angels are learning from it. Angels are getting to know for the first time. Peter said the angels desire to look into it. 1 Peter chapter 1, read from verse 10 and 12. You see that there. Now, I'm only laying the foundation to say something now. So when Paul said, I will come to you in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel, there is something called the full gospel. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Please follow. This glory of God, as we have seen, the first time God said it, and that was Numbers, the book of Numbers. It was repeated in Haggai again. Habakkuk, sorry. As the knowledge, epignosis in the Greek now, the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, epignosis involves awareness, precision, understanding, and comprehension. So there will be an awareness. People will be awakened to it. People will now also be aware of it. They will now walk in it. That tells you that that prophecy is fulfilled by preaching and by teaching. Let me see your hand if you're following what I'm saying. By preaching and by teaching. But the primary way that will happen in the earth is by preaching and by teaching. Observe, Jesus started out by preaching and by teaching. Matthew 4:23, you will see it there. Matthew 9, again, 24. He went from coast to coast, preaching and teaching and healing the sick. He preached and he taught. In fact, in Mark 6, when he got to his hometown, there was unbelief. So much unbelief. There are two things Jesus Christ he marveled at. He marveled at faith and he marveled at unbelief. When he saw that, what did he do? He sent them out to the coast. We're going to look at this now, tomorrow. He sent them out now to the inner places to go and preach and teach the kingdom. And what happened afterwards? There were miracles. So teaching and preaching precede the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth. Teaching and preaching precede the manifestation of the glory of God on the earth. The out outpouring of the Spirit of God will be heralded by a strong anointing to teach and to preach. That message is preached and taught. Now listen to this now. It is not the way we speak, the normal way we speak. Now, if someone comes, for instance, and he wants to teach us Newton's law of motion, and he's talking, no amount of what he's saying will produce what he's saying. Who understands what I'm saying? That's just talking. Interestingly, that is what some folks have replaced as ministry. No amount of what he's saying. If he says, so the speed of light, so and so. There was this theory that scientists in America found out about the speed of light. They discovered that if certain people travel by the speed of light, they now increased it a little bit, you know, and all that. Did some of this, you know, your physics thing. They discovered that when they tried to see how much light was, and I think they went around maybe 5% or something of what they could still grasp, they discovered that the man will live 30,000 years ahead of all his mates, age mates. So when we say Jesus is the light of the world, it carries a lot of meaning. When the Holy Spirit said, let there be light, what we think he was saying was the light we are seeing. The light we are seeing is the sun. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, observe something. I said it will be heralded by teaching and preaching. That was why Jesus' instructions. Now, you are ministers of the gospel. So I'm taking you on a level of understanding. Jesus showed these two things. In Mark 16, he said, go and preach the gospel. In Matthew 28, he said, go and teach the gospel. And in the two places, he said, he will accompany it. In Mark 16, 20, he says, and the Lord walking with them. In Matthew 28, 20, he said, lo, I am with you. So, he is with the teaching and he is with the preaching to manifest his glory in the earth. Let me see if you understand that very well. So, that is the way the glory of God will be manifested in the earth. Through preaching and through, and I said this. Now, somebody comes up and he's talking. He's describing this and describing that. He doesn't have the ability to produce what he's saying. He's only describing what a theory somebody has done somewhere. But his words do not carry power. That is what we have replaced. That's what we have replaced the anointed ministry with. Mere talking. And in fact, it would have been better if you were just talking. Now people are talking rubbish. Now people are talking nonsense. Nonsense. Somebody said this. He was teaching, and he was excited when he was saying it. He said, ah, Jesus Christ is about to come. How do you know? He said, when you see earthquakes, when you see nations rise against nations. I said, do you know how many years have rise against nations? Interestingly, in the dullness of his mind, he knew that that was written to the Jews. Jesus never talked about the rapture. The closest he talked about the rapture was in John 11. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That was the closest he went to the rapture. Matthew 28 was talking about the Jews. The Jews have been taken away. He said, he told them, he said, pray that your flight should not be in winter. Now, will winter disturb rapture? Well, because people just like condemnation. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken away. By who? Say, if he that is in the mountain should not come down. Is that rapture? Running away. But you don't understand. Paul said, I'm showing you, Jesus said he could not talk about the rapture because he could not bear it. But in talking to men of the Spirit, Paul said, I show you a mystery. And what did Paul say about the mystery? He said, we speak this wisdom among them that are what? Mature.
Praise God.
So don't get involved in some funny preaching that don't make sense. is coming. The guy said, Jesus is now 95. He wanted to come in 98, that he was already coming. So he now said that the church was not ready. You know, that now, people are saying, ooh, we don't believe that they believe anything. Ooh, ooh, say, I'm coming again. It was 96. He said, I'm coming again. This time around, whether you are ready or not ready. Who is building this church? It's Jesus. Who is preparing for himself a glorious body? It's Jesus. Who is the head of the church? It's Jesus. The church will not leave until the glory of God fills the earth. So in case you are saying, come Lord Jesus, stop being rude. Go. Go. You are rude. Obey. Jesus said, go. You are saying, come. Amen. So preaching and teaching will arise. Now, I didn't say talking. Talking. Just talking. 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 Some are even going to academic scholastic nonsense. Just talking. Remember a friend of mine one day, you know, guy was giving me to Greek and Hebrew. You like Greek and Hebrew? I like Greek and Hebrew too. I studied with it. It was fasting, really. And he was giving to Greek and Hebrew. You use Greek and Hebrew. He will write letters in Greek and Hebrew. But the truth of the matter is that if you give him the pulpit, you will be disappointed. Because the Bible was not written in Greek and Hebrew. It was written in the Holy Ghost. You will be disappointed. So one day I was teaching, and he now said, in fact, he said, the way you describe that word, do you know the meaning of that word? I said, I don't know it. He said, you said the exact meaning. I said, me, I teach in the Holy Ghost. You know what you are saying? He said, the word there is, so, he was saying, I said, look, me left. Well, yeah, I will use it. But don't turn Nigerians into Greek speakers. So he said, someone doesn't understand my Bible, he said, Lambano, Lontago, Nakadutu. What's your problem? Use this passage just for understanding. Some of you have been a word man quoting Greek and Hebrew. That's why somebody was, you know, he thought that was Greek because that was in the competition with some of us. And I said, who? The Greek word? Confession, hallelujah. Said, homologi, homologi. Homologi. Said, homologi, homologi. Confession, it means to say the same thing. To say the same thing as the high priest. To say the same thing. I said, you know, this one is copyright. It's copyright. He said, no. Confession means to say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Simple. That's all. To say with your... There's nothing the high priest is. The high priest is saying nothing. He's seated. Waiting. Amen. Compared to say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. That's what you mean by in consent. That is to say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. That's all. That's why he calls Christian the great confession. We believe and we speak. With the heart, man believes, with the mouth of your middle, that's Christianity. So he calls it the great confession. To say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. That's all. You'll say, oh, confession, omolobi, omolongo. Are you following me? Great. Now, it will be eroded by teaching and preaching. Now, are people speaking in the time that we are in? Hallelujah. Now told us the kind of teaching and preaching. First Corinthians 2. First Corinthians, right? 2. My speech. Now look at verse 1. Now brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. In other words, the gospel. Now, let me read that to you from the Amplified. Hallelujah. When I came, I didn't come to you proclaiming the testimony or evidence or mystery or secret of God concerning that which was done through Christ for the salvation of men in lofty words of eloquence and human philosophy and wisdom. You know, so who are just eloquent? Now I only learn some preaching skills. Now, I'm not saying that anybody that does this is not anointed. But the most thing that the anointing is saying, I tell you, somebody say, baby, hey baby, God has a problem for your life. Now some people are doing it and they are anointed, really. But some folks are just really. you know what they call mannequins? You know mannequin? Have you ever got into a place before and you thought somebody was wearing a suit and you said, hi, this guy was actually Not real. A wannabe. You know a wannabe? The, ah! Ooh! Ah! That's why somebody was, he recalled his hair. I told him. See, I tried to be a social and so person. See, this kind of comment not by Jerry Cole. Say, go and look at this man's hair 10 years ago. He didn't have Jerry Cole, no? Eh? You're not learning to pray. You're not learning what? See, Jerry Cole. No, you don't even have money. You look like Shushaina. The person is my friend, so I told him. So, don't get angry. You're my friend. I know your hair now. Too bad. There's nothing wrong in Jericho in your hair. You were born that way. Is anybody that was not born like that? Yeah. Are you with me? He said, nothing. Some people are just talking.
Say, I tell you.
You're this. I said, is that ministry? I'm not. No, really. You can do any kind of mannerisms, but I will have to listen to what you are saying closely. You understand my point? Some folks need that to speak by the Holy Ghost. You say, just say what you say and leave the place. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. Amen. Still small voice. Praise God. Alright. Declaring unto you that, he said, on human philosophy and wisdom. You see today people are quoting Socrates. Macbeth said. So they, ooh, what? Oh boy. Say, ooh. Say, look, somebody was telling me this. I bought a magazine, Word of Faith magazine, but can I take it to a lady? She now said, this is this man, Kenneth Hankins. That's not the bad part. He said, my pastor talks about this man. There are three men of God my pastor respects a lot. Kenneth Hankins, Kenneth Copeland, and she now said, Bill Gates. The pastor quoted Bill Gates so much that the fellow believed that Bill Gates was the pastor. Human philosophy. Not all speaking on the pulpit is anointed. Now listen. I resolve to know nothing amongst you. I'm reading the Amplified. To be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you, except Jesus Christ the Messiah and Him crucified. I was in passing into a state of weakness and fear, dread and great trembling after I had come among you. And I want to read verse 4 from the Amplified, from the King James. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Hallelujah. But in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Let me show you this from the Amplified. My language and my message was not set forth in persuasive, enticing, plausible words of wisdom, but they were in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. A proof by the Holy Spirit and power of God. Operating on me, stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, there were two words he used there. The first one he used was to discuss something. That deals with teaching. If I was to put it in today's language, I would say my teaching and my preaching amongst you. One was to proclaim, one was to discuss. Was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but in the demonstration. The word demonstration in the Greek is the word apodexis. It implies something. Apodexis is like this. Assuming this place is dark. And we're now looking for something. We're looking for a phone. We now take a torchlight. And we're now going. We now get to the point of the phone. We now flash light on that surface. Now, that is demonstration. You get my point? That is demonstration means to point out something. To point, and he told you what he was pointing. He said, I'm pointing out Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Apodexis means to point it out. To flash forth a display. of spirit that is by the spirit and by power. So the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth will be by anointed teaching and anointed preaching. It will take the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to the world. He said it is only going to be done by Spirit and by power. Not by talking. So that shows you that the preaching of the message carries with it the ability to do what he's talking about. There is demonstration in teaching. Are you following what I'm saying? And demonstration in preaching. It's not the normal speaking. It's not you're not lecturing people. There is a demonstration. There is a stirring up. There is a flashing forth of light that beams upon the person of Christ in teaching and in preaching. One thing I'm committed to do, and I will, is to teach Christ in the nations of the world. I'm committed to unveil and manifest the risen Christ
for the world.
Hitherto, majority have not taught him the way he's supposed to be taught. To teach Christ and preach Christ in the nations of the earth. To unveil him as the intelligence of humanity. To unveil him as the focus of all things. To bring him forth amongst men as the explanation of life and life in all its fullness. For there is no life in existence. Existence is in life, and that life is Christ Jesus. That I'm committed to. Hallelujah. Now I'm aware I'm going to face religion. I'm going to face a lot of persecution. But really, 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 I determined to know nothing amongst them. Save Christ and him crucified. That is Jesus and the identification we have with him. Amen. Now see this. He said there was no spirit and of power. Watch this. That shows you there is a consequential confirmation of our teaching and our preaching. Mark 16:20 did not happen in 7 days. Mark 16:20, and they went for preaching everywhere, and the Lord confirming the word with signs and following, is a summary of Acts of the Apostles. That is, the Holy Spirit points out the risen Christ. He confirms the risen Christ in the hearts, the minds, the bodies, and the lives of people. Look at Hebrews 2:4. Hebrews 2:4. I'm going to run now. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Look at that. It was confirmed. Now, what is he saying here? Those that heard Jesus say what he said went to people and said, you see, Jesus said so, so, and so. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. What's the gospel? That he rose from the dead. Jesus said it. They now went forth to confirm it to people. They also confirmed it by teaching. Making disciples of all nations. Matthew 28. But follow something. The Hebrew writer now said something else. He said that confirmation is not by talking. He said God also, for the lack of use of language, it should have been like this. God Father, or God accompanying that confirmation with signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. The word gifts of the Holy Ghost is the word merismos. Now, we have mentioned that merismos means to divide, to split something up. To split it up. Now, he's not talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit the way we are looking at it. He already said signs and wonders. He now said diverse miracles. So that handles seeing power, miracles, and healing. He now said gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, when he said gifts of the Holy Ghost, he now meant dividing. To split something up. That's what I've been saying since yesterday. The Holy Ghost dwelling in people, dwelling on them, and dwelling amongst them. That's the reference there. It's not the normal gift of charisma. The word used there is merismos. That is the sharing of the Holy Ghost. To dwell within, to dwell upon, and then to dwell amongst. I don't have time in these meetings, but I believe that sometimes next time I'm going to be able to get on this subject much more. Now, it says, now follow this. What we are meant to tell the world is an incredible apostasy. What we are meant to tell the world is something that beggars description. That someone lived on the earth. He died. He rose. Now, that one, there was no doctor. He died. And he died for 3 days. Then he rose on the third day. How many of you know that is something that beats human imagination? You've never imagined it before. That people naturally will not believe that somebody rose from the dead 3 days. And nobody called him out from the grave. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody did anything to him. His heart was not restarted. Now, you know the most interesting part? Which Paul now added to what they all knew. He now ascended like that. Jesus did not ascend as a spirit. He ascended as a man. That's why the angel told them, the way you see him go, he will return. That if he will come to the earth, he will come with the kind of witnesses. That's why he said, the saints in God that die will rise with him. He said, the same way you have seen it. So, that message is incredible. Now, you are going to now tell people that he was raised by the power of God. Hence, the necessity that your message be confirmed. Are you following what I'm saying here? That means your preaching cannot be with the enticing words. It has to come with the demonstration of pointing out that Christ, that truly he is alive. I will show you from history what he did. And I will show you in the present what he can do. That is the gospel. Let me see your hand here. Follow me. Are you getting this? So, the gospel is not words. The gospel is the words with power. The power that confirms what you have said. Acts 4:33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. That is, they confirmed it with power. Because you will have to tell us that it took power for Jesus to rise from the dead, right? You will tell us this power rose him bodily to heaven. In heaven, he seated today as a man alive. He didn't die before he went there. He died and came back to the earth and he rose alive. He is alive. He is alive. So that message is confirmed by God with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and then dividings of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God that confirms it dwells in you, dwells upon you, and dwells amongst us.
Hallelujah.
Now some of you are just looking. You know why? Because they've almost kicked out the teaching ministry from many places. People are no longer taught anything. Anything. Now, listen. So there are dividings of the Spirit. That was why, when there was persecution, the prayer of the church in Acts 4 was that signs and wonders might be done in the name of your Holy Child Jesus. Signs and wonders might be done because the Holy Spirit came to. Kenyon made a statement. Really, it's a wonderful statement. You know, it's perfect. Just that there are other things that go along with it. He said the Holy Spirit didn't bring power to the church. said, because there's power in the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He said, the Holy Spirit came to unveil the power in the name. Wow. That's some depth of understanding. Because Jesus said, all authority is given to him. So authority is the power to exercise power. Hallelujah. Because as we are talking today, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the face of the king. And there will be light across the nations. Because outside time, Jehovah God has spoken light on humanity. Jesus is the light of all men. And as long as I live, said the Lord, the earth will be filled with my glory. Said, as the waters cover the sea. The way we have seen human beings fill the earth, that is the way the power of the Holy Spirit will fill the earth. That's the prophecy that goes with ministry. Hallelujah. Spirit and power. Let me do some expression about that. Whenever you hear the word in spirit, that implies two things. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 now. It implies what is said, and what is seen. It implies two things. Utterance and revelation. I'll show you two things. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, albeit in the spirit. Revelations 1, John said, I was in the spirit. And I saw and I heard. So in the spirit, always, by the spirit, for instance, when Agabus signified by the spirit, Acts 11, that indicates speaking and showing something. Now when it said power, it implies something that is tangible. Something that is felt. Something that is done. So he's saying the preaching and the teaching of the gospel is by revealing, by utterance, and by power. That is something that is done. Acts. Something said, something shown, and something acted. Physically and visibly. Let me just divide that briefly and then I guess we'll explain later. The revelation of the Spirit therefore implies from 1 Corinthians 12 listing, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Also, the second leg will be word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now, power will imply gifts of healings, workings of miracles, and the gift of faith. First Corinthians 12, 7. Run there, please. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for to every man to profit with all. Notice that. What did Jesus say will give to those that believe? The Holy Spirit. What did Joel prophesy? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, from where will he pour out of his spirit? From those that have his spirit dwelling in them. Have we gotten that clear? Aha. Now, the manifestation of the spirit is in singular to show you it doesn't happen twice. Manifestation is a word in the Greek that means phaneru. It means to make something visible. To declare everything. It implies fullness. That is, on every believer, there is the fullness of the Spirit. That implies the Spirit within, the Spirit upon, and the Spirit amongst us. That is the manifestation of the Spirit. Everything is given to all of us to profit from. Now, in that profiting from it, is what we call the outpouring of the Spirit. To profit for all. The outpouring of the Spirit. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel. And it's telling us that that outpouring will be a function, listen carefully, of teaching and preaching, which are accompanied with signs and wonders, and are for every thirsty soul. Let me tell you this. Humanity, listen carefully to this now. Humanity without Jesus is thirsty. So don't begin to look for thirsty souls. Anybody who is sick is thirsty. Anybody who is oppressed is thirsty. Now, in that outpouring, you will see that Joel spoke about some symbolic things. Because the outpouring of the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but the outpouring of the Spirit has certain symbolic representations in nature. One of them is light. Another one is fire. Another one is rain. Another one is wind. Those things are not the Holy Spirit. They are symbolic of the acts of the Holy Spirit. Light is very clear. It brings illumination. It unveils things in the dark. Rain means it waters dry things. It causes rivers in the desert. Fire is clear. Fire means it refines, not destroys. Fire means it inspires. Wind means it carries. So there is an outpouring of the Spirit going on in the earth. Every desert shall be turned to rivers. Every dry land shall be turned into seas by the outpouring of the Spirit on the face of the earth. Let's go on. Power is tangible or can be very tangible. Notice Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. He didn't anoint him with the Holy Ghost and with power. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost. And because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost, with power he went about doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So power is to do good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because God was with him. Now, I want to point your attention to something. I'll talk a little bit about power now. And I'll show you something here now. And we're going to practice it. Not sleeping, you know. There was a fellow. We're having a meeting like that. 2002. I began to minister and I said, someone has a knee problem. The knee was disjointed. Couldn't walk with it properly. You know the funny part? I kept calling the call. Nobody answered because the guy was sleeping. So I said, guys, this is good. So he now tapped him. You have a knee problem? He said, yes, ah. The power of the Lord was present to you, and you were a Pharisee and Sadducee there. The fact that people don't receive does not mean the power of God was not present. He just did not receive. For instance, look at that kind of fellow. He was sleeping. If he did not get an Ananias, an angel, to just tap him and bring him to glory, he would have gone from that place and said, because he is not just sick in the body, he's sick in his mind, almost in the spirit. Save for the armor of light. You will have been sick in the spirit. Power is tangible. What did I say? Say loud and clear. Power is tangible. Look at Mark 5. Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, which we call her now. Thank God her name was not given. Touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Power went into her body. And power tangibly left Jesus' body. Jesus felt it. The woman felt it. Power The power that accompanies the gospel, brothers and sisters, is tangible. I'll show you another place. Luke 5. When the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal, verse 17, that power was tangible. Do you know the funny part? In the two cases we have mentioned now, the power was so tangible and people were touching the hem of Jesus' garment and they didn't get healed. Because he did not receive it. Yet it was tangible. So what brings tangibility to the power of God is faith. In Luke 5, those guys that were in, imagine, the whole congregation was full of Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't believe him. Yet the power of God was there. But for a man to actually bring that tangibility to walk on his behalf, it takes faith. So some folks now took a couch of a man who was paralyzed through the ceiling. Now, there was another instance. Maybe those ones have been to these two meetings. Matthew 14. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power went about doing good. Matthew 14. Let's read verse 35 together. One, two, go. Matthew 14, 35. One, two, go. 36. So they wanted to touch him to be healed. Now, in Mark 5, those that were touching him, just feel the text of the cloth. Just say, fine boy, evil boy. You supposed to come to church to do other things but receive. You're supposed to tell you how many pools their pastor has, how he does his hair. That's why you are coming to church. They will tell you, some folks don't mind their business in church. He has two kids. One is white, one is yellow. You know, I don't know how many children pastor has. What's your business? Is that why you are coming? So they were touching the hem of his garment, but they were not touching to receive. A woman decided by faith and she received. So you see that in Matthew 14, because they heard of the power, the same thing in Mark 5, they went to touch to be healed. And the power of God now left to heal them. Notice something. The reason why there was that power was not because Jesus was God. It was because he had the Holy Spirit on him. Acts 10:38. You read that earlier. Now notice this. In Matthew chapter 5, Peter saw the manifestation of the power of the gospel. Acts of the Apostles chapter 5. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were wrought many signs and wonders among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 13, and the rest does not any man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Now this is the reason why some people believe that Ananias and Sapphira were not Christians. And really, we can explain it that way. The way they were described by Luke showed that they actually just came around Christians. One. Two. Look at the reaction. The statement of Luke afterwards seemed to buttress that. He says, great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things. He said, and people, verse 13, did not want to join themselves with them because of what they saw. Now, that didn't say people did not get saved though. The next verse now said that they were now added those that believed. So it buttresses the fact that some think that they were actually folks that came around the church. Ends what happened to them. Now that's something that takes some deep thinking, and I don't want you to push it beyond that. Praise God. But let's leave that. You know, at least you won't fall down and die. Notice verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came multitude out of cities about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Acts 19:11. the same people also came. Listen carefully to this. Notice that it was not Peter that asked people to use a shadow. Now, Acts 19:11, handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to the body of Paul. And he now took the handkerchief and apron and took it to the sick, and the sick were healed. Now, look at me, people of God. That shows you the power of God is tangible. It can be stored within time and space. It can be stored within time and space. Shadow implies space and time. You don't get shadows every time of the day. You don't get shadows everywhere that you go. So there is space and time to store power. There was nothing about Peter's shadow. Peter's shadow was the storage of the power. Now, when it comes to the tangibility of the power of God, it is the recipient that determines how it flows. Acts 5, Acts 19, Matthew 14, Luke 5 that we have read, and Mark 5. That brings me to this. Apparently, on the three people we have read, Jesus, Paul, and Peter, it was the anointing upon them that people besought to receive from. And they did receive. 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us that God has set in the church men anointed to display tangible power. Workers of miracles. To display tangible power. That shows you two things. Galatians 3 says, he that worketh miracles amongst you. That shows you two things. That tangible power is available upon and consequently available without. It now leads me to tell you this. I hope you are listening. Now, when we're in meetings, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. When we're in meetings, you see that people at times will fall under the power of God. Now, that is not the demonstration of spirit where you will see and hear. That may not happen because of that. But that's not what happened. That is tangible power. Remember my brother, late brother, shorter than I was then, you know, lighter in weight. There was this lady, big. She came, very big, times four of me maybe. You know what he just did? He stood on a chair, the lady was worshipping. He just touched her like this, and she flew to the back of the auditorium. That is power. That is power. That's the power of God. Tangible power. Now listen. Now I'm saying this to some people. If you have ever ministered like this, where you lay hands on people and they fall under the power of God, that means, that's a proof that the same can be stored to minister to the sick and to the oppressed. Interestingly, this is what Hagin taught me, you know, from his teachings, that we get so carried away at times. And we think that that was what the power was for. As good as that happens in meetings, you understand. That is a proof that we can take the same power and minister to the sick and to the oppressed. Because the anointing is for service. When I see people talk about the power and they can't explain the Bible, I tell them that they are not thinking straight. Power is power. Power does something. How can you say there's power and nothing is done? You the power of God, yeah, I believe. So the power of God can just cause a man to fall on his face. If by laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit can be given. If by laying on of hands, the gifts of the Spirit can be made to function. If by laying on of hands, the calling of a man, the gift of a man can be made manifest. And by leading of hands, the power of God can be in demonstration. Don't sound like a spiritual nitwit. A fool going somewhere to happen. Understand the things of God by the Spirit of God. And don't become a mental anarchist who's trying to reason this reason and get into all the logic and throw away the Holy Ghost from the Bible. Now follow. You know what happens usually is that I've discovered that in the church world, there's something that happens. And that's what we have done to speaking in tongues. Brother Higgins said this also, I think in tongues beyond the upper room, and you know, some other teachings like that. Now you see, people often stop at the door. It's not about us, really. We stop at the door. And most of the time, when we don't press further, we now get into arguments and confusion. Because the essence and purpose of the thing, we've not known it. Oftentimes, you know, just like that, the power of God, we have stopped at people falling under the power. And we have not gone further to have that power stored in time and space and get it ministered to many other people. I'll give you an instance. Camp meeting. This year's camp meeting. You know, we had this night where, you know, the last night particularly, we ministered to people and all that. But there were folks who we ministered to cloths and took it to the sick. There was somebody I learned could not see, speak, or hear. And immediately, instantaneously, the person heard, spoke and heard. Somebody who was in a far distance, you know, was heart stroke. I think 2-3 cases like that. The same thing happened. He just got healed instantaneously. Now, that was the same power in the meeting. The folks were following the power and all that. But for me, I've known enough that that power is also available, tangible power to do good. So if you have ministered like that, I don't know if you have ministered like that before. You minister, maybe you have sent someone to talk in tongues and then you personally follow God. Anything like that. Now, that's a confirmation that you can minister the same on the sick and on the oppressed. Let me tell you something. It takes power to drive out a demon. If you have ever gotten a madman to be saved, that same power, listen, it takes power. Glory to God. Oh, can I go beyond this? Okay. It takes power to drive out a demon. Notice, everywhere you see and demons were driven out, Acts 19:11, Acts 5, you will see that it always speaks about oppression and demonic affliction. Same thing in Mark 5. It is obvious that that woman with the issue of blood was oppressed by Satan. It was a demonic activity. Matthew 14 too. You will see those that were afflicted. Tangible power drives. Now, we have authority in the name of Jesus. That authority is to use power. And that power, there are some things you will see. You will know that this one is a demonic affliction. Now, for instance, when it comes to people's ears being open and the door was speaking, in more often cases than not, that I've seen hundreds like that. The truth of the matter is this. It's power. That it's usually a demonic affliction when somebody is deaf and dumb. It's an evil spirit. Read all through Jesus' ministry. When somebody is deaf and dumb, it drives out the evil spirit. Then the guy can speak and he can hear. Who knows what I'm talking about? Very clearly. All that people have said to somebody is deaf, I just cast out the devil. That's all I do. Guy will hear, he will speak. And it happens by tangible power. Tangible power. See, no demon has power. They walk in the absence of power. Tangible power. Do you know where I'm going to? I don't want this meeting, really. I've tried my best not to teach. I've not really taught anything, really. All I've done to you is to just give you, you know what you say? That's what I've done. Let me just taste, you just taste a little bit and all that. What I'm going to is this. I quoted Kenneth Hagin. See, most of the time, and he gave a prophecy like that, 2003, 2002. It happens that we usually stay at the door. We stay at the door with tongues, with prophecy. When Paul taught prophecy, he said, when the unbelieving hears it, he will fall on his face, worshiping God, reporting that God is with you. That's what he said. We usually stop at the door. At the door. at the door. You know, just like I'm some people that just, let me just hear this. I'm tired. Wow. This is where, this is the break point. Because when it comes to the things of the Spirit, too many people are lazy in their minds, lazy concerning eternal things. They are too unwilling to press and go beyond the first levels of infancy in the things of the Holy Ghost. Too often than not, they are satisfied with mediocrity, infant food, milk diet. Interestingly, many of them find themselves in positions of ministry. Yay! Milk is now passed to others as milk also. In fact, only time, the lesser diet. But will arise and press. And press. See, church, there is a pressing into the things of God. There is a pressing. Let's go beyond just speaking in tongues for edification. Let's go beyond just prophecy to have a good time. Let's go beyond the power of God for just the normal demonstration that we have seen. If the power of God can drive out a demon, that means that tangible power can have a part to play in the things of the Spirit. It can interplay in spiritual realities and spiritual entities. Glory. There is a press in the things of God. Anandala, Alilova, Lilililobra, Dizilatos. Lazy hands and lazy feet. Too lazy to press into the things of God. And the knees are dropping further down. And the hands are getting feeble much more. And the eyes are dimming. In laziness. In indolence. Not instead to walk. Yay! Such now find company among lazy people. After a while, laziness will breed indolence much more than irreverence. Then that looks like a loss totally of the things of God. Quit laziness today. Quit indolence today. And begin to press into the things of God. There is more and 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 more. For the anointing is within you, says the Lord. The anointing is upon you, says the Lord. And the anointing is amongst us also. A few minutes, I'll share something and then we'll close. I want us to just receive tonight. Believe. Now listen. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I'll dwell on this tomorrow. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Spirit of God is saying that. Press. Press. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Desire spiritual things. Press. Press. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Be zealous for spiritual things. Press. Who is saying this? Who is saying this to us? Holy Ghost. So when I say and stay here and say, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Or breathe upon me, breath of God. I'm only pressing forth. I'm only pressing forth. Yay, there is more. Oh, there is more. For the power of God is on you to drive out demons and sicknesses. And that power will be tangible it will make men to see the reality of Christ much more. Hallelujah. In Acts 6, the way I look at it is this. What happened in Acts 6? Now, Luke wrote an account that people were murmuring and there was argument over the smell of food. And then, listen. Oh, glory. Lord, help me to say this. And the apostle decided to now say, okay, let's appoint deacons. So deacons were natural officers. They now called men of good report, full of wisdom and full of the Spirit. Maturity. Now, it was because of their knowledge. When Paul talked about the office of the deacon, he said it will purchase a greater degree of grace with that office. In other words, the deacon's office is a step into walking in the fullness of your calling. When you are given natural responsibilities in church, because of your character, it is to stir up the anointing upon you. And you will now stand in a spiritual office. Watch this. In Acts 6. They called seven folks. They laid hands on them. They fasted. But two folks seemed to press. Stephen. Immediately after, he knew that laying on of hands communicates things. Afterwards, the Bible says he now became a man of mighty signs and wonders. Full of grace and the power of God. That was not why they chose him. But when they chose him, he pressed forward. Philip. Now, listen, I'll tell you why I knew this. Philip, when there was that persecution, went out to Samaria and preached Christ. And the Bible says signs and wonders were wrought in his hand. Now, let me tell you to see the thinking of Philip, which I believe Stephen had. Philip, now God those folks say they need to talk in tongues. Now called for the apostles. That the apostles will lay their hands. That means in Acts 6, he connected something with laying on of hands. He gave the apostles a role. He gave them photos when it came to laying of hands. And he contacted something. That was why he still gave them that reference. That look, these guys have something about their hands. I contacted Acts 6. That's why I'm here. Now follow. When Peter came, he said, and when that guy tried to give him money, he said, do you think? Now the guy said, give us this. Let me give you power that you may money. And you may give me this power. I may have power. And whosoever I lay my hands upon, they will do what things are doing here. I believe in Acts 8, it was beyond those people in the tongues. Simon must have seen something. Now when Peter laid hands, things happened. Peter now said, you have no part in this matter. Do you think the gift of God? That means that laying on of hands was a merisman. It was a dividing. There are people in the body of Christ who are setting dividings when it comes to hands laying upon. Now, Stephen understood it. Philip understood it. I believe it, the other folks understood it. Easy. You will have simply stepped up. Because when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it's about pressing. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to close on this. Attitude is important. Notice what's in Acts 6. They fasted and prayed. Fasting is an attitude of submission. Willingness to receive. That's why we fast. It doesn't change God, it changes you. Now, in the corporate flow, I'll just end here. Let me say this. There is something about the corporate anointing. If I were to measure things, I would say it's the strongest presence of the Holy Ghost. You know why? All the dividings are present. The anointing within is present. The anointing upon is present. And then it contributes to the anointing without. That was why in 1 Corinthians 14, if you observe, oh glory to God. So when you come together, everyone has a psalm. That means everybody comes with the anointing upon him. He now says, and all with the anointing upon are now edified. That means in the anointing without, my ministry is enhanced. I make progress when I come under the corporate flow. So when hands are laid on me, it enhances my ministry. When there's a demonstration of the power of God in the assembly, it enhances. He said the prophet, let me speak two or by three. I told by three. And after John, he now said this. All may be edified, including the ministry gift. Edification is to make progress. In the corporate flow, it enhances the anointing inside, within. It enhances the anointing upon your life. I want Christians, don't abstain from the right gatherings. So when we say, I want more of you, I'm looking at the corporate flow, contributing to the flow upon my life. It's not a song for a Christian who is just having a nice time. You can't understand. I want to move from a deacon to a man of size and wonder. As an Acts 8, Philip was still a deacon. But by the end of hands and by the dividings of the Spirit, anointing without and upon, he has stepped further by pressing. I see men that will step further here. There is a press in the things of God. There is a press in the things of God. Sorry, really. I feel pain many times. And a good number of the church have not been taught so many things. In 1 Corinthians 3:26, the psalmist is present. Revelation is present. The prophet is present. Diverse tongues is present. He now says all this ministry will be enhanced with the corporate anointing. There's something here now. Hallelujah.